Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. And today we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter There Is a Solution and we are on page 18. We are reading the fourth paragraph that starts with, but the ex-problem drinker, ending in little or nothing can be accomplished, working on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you to Team Tuesday, Larry K., Elizabeth D., Ken W.H., a reader of the 12 Steps, Chris W., the 12 Traditions, Alicia A., the newcomer greeter for the end of the hour, Karen W., and our host for our second awesome unrecorded hour, Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday, February 9th, are unfortunately, but thank you to all who got us up and running, so we are good to go for today. So there will be no recording numbers for 7 a.m. or 10 a.m. yesterday, February 9th. But we do have Sunday's special edition recording. It's 23,196. That's 23196. So check it out. That's for Sunday, February 8th. Oh, a preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence in the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Chris. Chris, are you there? Star one to unmute.
Okay, sorry about that. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Chris W. I will now ask for Alicia A. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Alicia.
Good morning, Alicia A., Compulsive Overeater. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Alicia A. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for leaders is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request, though, that your sharing be directly linked. *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to unmute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 18, the fourth paragraph, and I'm going to ask Larry K. to get us started. Go ahead, Larry. Can't wait.
Hey, Amy. Good morning. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry K., recovered compulsive reader. But the ex-problem drinker who has found the solution, who is properly armed with facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. So, again, in italics, I learned that this means it's fundamentally important. I better pay attention, specific attention to this stuff. And when I read this, I'm reminded of the first meeting that took place between two men. It happened on Mother's Day, May the 12th, 1935. Of course, Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith, they met in the library of the Gatehouse at the Sieberling Estate in Akron, Ohio. And this meeting was arranged by Henrietta Sieberling, who was a member of the Oxford group at the time. And Dr. Bob was coming off a binge, and he was irritated that he even agreed to go. But he went, and what was supposed to be a 15-minute conversation between them lasted for more than 5 hours. You know, Bill was, of course, he was looking for another alcoholic to talk to in order to maintain his own sobriety, and he found that in Dr. Bob. And the outcome was this meeting is actually considered the birth of AA. And when they were done, On their drive home, Dr. Bob told his wife, Ann Smith, that, you know, he said, this is the first man who truly understood my drinking. And that's interesting because the thing is, Bill Wilson never said anything about Bob's drinking, not a word. Bill simply shared about himself. Isn't it amazing that through the language of the heart, Bob was able to feel understood in a way that he had never felt understood before? And see, he knew that Bill wasn't sharing from a script or a book. He wasn't preaching to him from a spiritual mountaintop, nor was he shaming him. He wasn't speaking down to him. Bill was sharing from his own experience. And when we share our experience from the heart, divine providence begins to take hold, and all sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence, divine providence moves too. One alcoholic to another can help like no one else can. You know, I once heard a fellow share something simple yet pretty profound. You remember when you were in kindergarten or first grade and there was a educational activity, it was called show and tell. You know, where children bring a personal item from home and to display and discuss. And in many respects, that's kind of what we do here. She said, OA is one big show and tell operation. We bring our experience and we demonstrate that for others to see, you know, what it was like, what happened, and what things are like now. And yes, you know, the big book tells us in the foreword, it says, each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And until, you know, yes, until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. So with that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much, Larry, for getting us started. Okay, so we're going to take names and of people who would like to share on what was read. A friendly reminder, if you've shared in the last couple of days, I guess we'll make that Friday or Thursday. We ask that you step aside and please allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope. So who would like to share on what was read?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Lisa.
Kim A.
Liz E.
UK.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie. I think I heard Rick J.
Yep.
Rick, Bonnie D, Rick, did I hear Vasa? Was that Vasa?
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes.
Virginia N.
Virginia.
Pete B.
Pete B.
Liz E, UK.
Liz, I gotcha. Okay. We got a great group. Is there anyone else? All right, I've got Lisa B, Kim A, Liz E, Bonnie B, Rick J, Vasa O, Virginia M, I think it was, and Pete B. Okay, let's get things started or keep going. Lisa, you're up.
Good morning, Amy. My name is Lisa B, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I'm calling from South Carolina, and it's so nice to be back on the meeting this morning. I love this paragraph. I've experienced the miracles both sides. I've experienced the miracle as a newcomer to this amazing OA meeting, calling in as a newcomer and receiving all the calls and being a little bit overwhelmed with all the calls, but also really feeling blessed. And one of the people that called me became the sponsor that became my big book guide that took me through this work. And I could tell she was armed with facts about herself. You know, it was an amazing experience because she shared so openly about herself. She didn't talk about me and what I should do. She talked about her frustration and despair, being in the food, not being able to stop, being newly married, being on the couch, feeling like she couldn't function, go on. But yet she wasn't like that anymore. And she talked about having neutrality with the food. And she didn't talk down to me. It was just wonderful. It was so wonderful. It drew me in and it gave me hope. And I love that she was armed with the facts about herself. And, you know, the preceding paragraphs talked about going to other people, professionals, and they weren't able to help me. You know, they had lots of knowledge and training and degrees, but they talked about me and to me. And I think it's that sharing about them, like when I share about myself, and that's the other end. When I call newcomers, when I work with sponsees, it's saving my life, really. I mean, my higher power ultimately is saving my life. But being able to talk about my experience of what it was like and what it's like today, that's what I need to do. That's what charges me. That's how I knew, actually, that I was recovered. When I went through the steps and was sharing with newcomers, it occurred to me, oh, my goodness, there is a whole new foundation, a whole new life, a whole new building that I'm, a whole new structure that I'm standing on that has happened to me, and it's coming out of me now, and I'm able to transmit it. And it is amazing. And I love the word understanding, and that nothing can be accomplished until this understanding is reached. That's why living in this basic text, when I'm taking people through the work, it's not about, you know, the lesson of Lisa. It's the big book teaching and the steps as they're laid out and the experience that is promised to us. So I'm grateful to be here, and I spell my name L-E-S-A, and I am available as a sponsor. Thank you. I pass.
Lisa, I beg your pardon. I just completely spaced on your state. What state are you from, please? South Carolina,
my guess. Hi, Amy. I'm from South Carolina.
I had it right. There we go. Okay,
thank you
so much. Thank you. All right, Kim A, followed by Liz E. Please go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. Morning, this is Kim A from New York City. And we've all experienced that frothy emotional appeal, as Dr. Silkworth calls it, that people who don't know what they're talking about are trying to help us, right? Because to the outsider, it doesn't make sense why we do what we do. And, you know, everybody wants to give weight loss tips or strategies, how we can control ourselves. And doctors want to, you know, give us shots and put us on weight loss plans and all this other stuff that we've tried it, right? And it's quite frankly irritating at a point when people who don't understand this illness are trying to be helpful. Like, yeah, they're trying to be helpful, but like, stop. So then we put ourselves in a situation where we can now speak to people who have experienced this illness and have experienced this solution. And, you know, OA is different than a lot of the other A's in that, you know, it's not so easy. It's not like we can never take another bite of food, right? It's not like we can totally abstain like the alcoholic or a drug addict. So different things work for different people. But all we can do is talk from our own experience, what has not worked, what has worked, and whether it's on a meeting or speaking one-on-one with a prospect or a newcomer, that's all we can do. And just like everything else, we're not responsible for the results. The results are in our higher power's hands. And we're told in the first paragraph, I think, of the chapter Working with Others that intensive work, and I'm paraphrasing, I think, intensive work with newcomers is going to bring us immunity from compulsive eating. That immunity doesn't come from what we're eating or not eating. It doesn't come from avoiding what we think are triggers or weighing and measuring. That immunity comes from our step work. Step 12, carrying the message. And to get to step 12, we have to go through steps 1 through 11. So, in other words, our immunity, our new solution for life, is working the steps. It's not wrapped up in food. And I've shared countless times on this meeting that I don't use a food plan because I'm a chronic compulsive eater. That never helped me. No human aid solutions, including a food plan or avoiding triggers, that never helped me. So whether I'm on a meeting or talking to, you know, someone one-on-one, all I could do was say what didn't work for me and what ultimately worked for me. And what ultimately worked was working the steps quickly. Thanks. And living in 10, 11, and 12 to grow in basically everything. Thank you. This is Kim A. from New York City.
Thank you, Kim A. from New York City. All right, Liz E. followed by Bonnie B. Go ahead, Liz.
Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Liz E. for Elegant, recovered compulsive overeater in Bristol, England. So thank you very much for hearing me. I really, really appreciate it. And this is just amazing because it wasn't until I heard somebody who is a recovered compulsive overeater talk to me that I went, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. And all that nodding and all that nonverbal language that you communicate with somebody when they share their story. And this really is all I need to do as a sponsor is share my experience, strength, and hope. That is it. I have no other responsibility to do. But I do need to do that because in order for me to do that, I need to do step 12 because this is a 12-step program. And the only way I keep my recovery is by sharing my story and my how I use the tools and how most importantly, God is the center of my life. And it is that confidence. And I got that confidence by talking to people, many of you on this line, and it was just such a relief to know that I wasn't alone and that this is a WE program. So if you're new here, just keep calling people who are recovered, talk to them. It is the single most powerful thing to do because no amount of anything I did before I got to these rooms helped. And I count myself as reasonably intelligent, read books, been to clubs, you name it, I've done it. And it is so true. Until an understanding is reached by me, I couldn't do anything. The identification is the single most important thing at the beginning, and it's the only step you need to do perfectly. And I can't be a little bit pregnant. I'm a compulsive overeater, and that is it for me today. And by talking to people who were recovered, I got the confidence to know I was in the right place. So just do that star one. If you don't know what to do, just ask God, and he'll give you the words. Thanks a million. Have a beautiful day. Bye.
Thank you, Liz E. from Bristol, England. All right, Bonnie B. followed by Rick J. You're up, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Amy, for your service. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the shares. They've been amazing. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't dropped into a program where I identified with everyone else. I mean, that was the thing that pulled me in. I can remember going to the first meeting that I went to, and I sat in the back row, and I listened to this woman share her story. And all I could think was, oh, my word. I've done all of that. Only I did my best to conceal what I've done, and she was talking about what she had done. I have come to understand at this point in my recovery that, my recovery is connected to my willingness to be transparent and honest with other people. I used to think there was good chapters and bad chapters in my book. There aren't good and bad chapters. There are just chapters in my book. I have this DNA. I didn't know I had this DNA, but I certainly knew that I had something that was going on because most people that I knew didn't do what I do with food. And they certainly didn't do what I did with the behaviors. So when I came into this program and I talked with people over and over and over and over, and they share with me their experience and what they had done in that candidness, I leaned in for the first time. I felt like my guard was coming down. What a gift we have been given. Yes, I have this DNA. At my base, I know I have this DNA. On page 427, it says, if you're an apple, you can be the best apple you can be, but you can never be an orange. This is not a curse. It's actually a gift. this DNA has allowed me to, with intentionality, draw closer to my God than I've ever been in my life by showcasing the things that I would like to do different, but maybe haven't or don't or can't at this point, but trusting God for his ideal. By being able to talk with other people on a daily basis as I give my 10 steps away and I'm transparent and honest, I get to lean back in again. This is so amazing. I, for the first time, felt like I had arrived. I felt like I had a herd. I never felt like I had a herd. And I didn't really have a herd until I fell into this program, and I realized, oh, there's a whole bunch of us that have this DNA. I just spent my whole life trying to conceal it. But when I talked with other people, and when I talk with people, more than anything else, I want to love them where they're at. I want them to know that they are not unique. And so I am transparent, and I share the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, because it's just part of the story, hoping that they will come back and stay. Because it is God that does the recovery. God does it. I don't do it. And I don't get anyone recovered. God does that. But I love people well, and we want them to come back. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone. Blessings.
Hey, Bonnie, did I get your state, please? Can I get your state? I don't know if I heard it.
So sorry. Yep, Bonnie B. from Florida. Thanks much.
Florida. All right. Rick J., you're up, followed by Vasa O. And just a friendly reminder to everyone, if you came in a few minutes late, we are on page 18, and we are reading the italics paragraph. That is the fourth paragraph, and we will be taking more names in about four people. Okay. Rick J., you're up.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Yeah, I love listening to the shares this morning. It just makes me feel so warm and just good all over, you know. And I think about my own experience, and you know, when I would first coming around, you know, I was so defiant and distrustful of people, and I was just waiting to hear the word you know, like, you should, you must. And you know, when I started connecting, when I started listening to the people who were coming up to share with me, you know, I heard the word I, you know, and it made me intrigued, you know, but like, I wanted to hear about them, because I could tell that they knew what they were talking about. I could see that they were, you know, in a place that I was not. It's sort of like Abby and, you know, to Bill. I sensed that they, you know, really knew what they were talking about, and I just became intrigued. And it wasn't about what I should do differently. It was just them sharing their experience and their strength and their hope. And that relatability that happened because of that sharing and me being able to relate to them, you know, I could identify in. And that formed this connection with that person. And I could trust them. I began to trust people, you know, I began to trust them and others like them. And a funny thing happened. I became sort of excited to, you know, for newcomers to share with them my experience, you know, to try to connect with them, whether I was their sponsor or not. And people who didn't sponsor me shared their experience with me. And that is the most beautiful part about this program for me, is that, yes, we come to believe in our own powerlessness. We come to believe in, you know, the power that can transform us, you know, but that happened for me through other people. It just wasn't something that, you know, struck me. It happened by being in front of people, both on either side, you know, listening to their sharing their experience and me sharing my own to others. And that's where that belief in a higher power started really forming. And I was able to give that away. And I just love that I can take that connection and trust that someone else helped me achieve, and I can pass that on to somebody else. And it's the, you know, the spiritual math happens. You know, 1 + 1 = 3. Two people are connected and sharing, and God is there. Whether I knew it or not, there was something that happened within me. And today I just know that it was this God of my understanding today. This power greater than myself was also there through that person connecting with me. And I was able to share that with somebody else. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J. from North Carolina. Okay, Vasa O., followed by Virginia M. Please go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, everyone. And I am Vasa, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And I just love this paragraph. And this is what happened to me. It says, but the ex-problem drinker who has found this solution, who is properly armed with facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. After suffering with the food addiction for 25 years of my life, trying to put it down, tried everything I heard of, you know, diets and everything, and I just could not do it. You know, it would work well for a while, but I always gave in to the food. So my Abby was, she came to visit me at my house, and I hadn't seen her for a while, and she looked wonderful, and I was shocked to see her. A lot of the people I hung around, they were always dieting. Women were always dieting. But it was different. She had something that I wanted. She had been in the program abstinent and sober for a couple of years. And I never expected her to walk through the door in the kitchen. And she 12-stepped me up at the program. It was something that I had never heard before, you know. And before she took me to my first meeting, it was about a week. She 12-stepped me. It was just what I was hearing. She gave me so much hope. She said, if it's working for me, Vas, it's going to work for you, you know. And I then going to my first meeting after a week, and I heard other people, the speaker, sharing her experience, strength, and hope. And I heard other people share. And then, of course, I was reading the big book, too, at the same time, how the 100 men and women alcoholics recovered. She gave me the big book. I had so much hope. And to me, like almost like spiritual awakenings right away from the beginning. And she did say to me, though, the first three steps were the foundation of the program. And I needed to work on my food abstinence first, you know, because she said if we're not abstinent to work the rest, it wouldn't be as successful working the rest of the steps. And I needed to find the power greater than myself. And I said, I will do whatever you want me to do. I just do not want to die, because if I continue doing, I'm going to die. And then the only thing she said to me, this only one thing I want from you is to pass it on to others. It's a free program. I don't want nothing from you. I just want you to pass it on. Help others like I'm helping you. And that's the key. That's it. The solution is right here. Just follow the steps. Do the work. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Vasa O. from Florida. Virginia M., you're up, followed by Pete B. Please go ahead, Virginia.
Good morning. This is Virginia N., as in Nancy, from Southwest Virginia, and happy to say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater this morning. This paragraph, it just brought me back to the thought of what I was at a pay and way forever, and obviously didn't get anywhere, but kept going to that because I thought, you know, I didn't know any other solutions to my overeating. I thought I was like everyone else, but I just couldn't do what they were doing, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't do it. And someone at that meeting broke their daughter's anonymity and told me about OA. And I wasn't familiar really with 12-step programs at all. And it still took me a few months, but I, you know, the bottom of the bottom, I was at a party in dress pants and I was putting food in my dress pant pockets and going into the bathroom and eating it. And the next day, OA still had numbers in the white page, so I called them. And to go to that meeting and hear ex-problem eaters share and hear that people actually did what I did, I could not believe it because this disease is so isolating. I thought I was the only one that, you know, took food out of garbage, that got up in the middle of the night, you know, stuffed their nightgown in their sweatpants to go to the 24-hour gas station. All these things that I had no idea that others did. And that's when I was like, oh my gosh, to find out that it was an illness and to find out that there was a solution finally, because all the other things I was trying, I couldn't figure out why they weren't working. It was such a relief to me to walk into the rooms, and I'm forever appreciative of the honesty that we all have in this program. So people like me and everyone out there, I know that I'm not alone anymore and what a difference it makes. And it's only the ex-problem eater that can relate, because in good intention, I have even friends now that say to me, oh, you're so good about your food. And I just go, well, that's not what it's really about, but this is what I need to do. Because they don't get it, because they can go on that diet or they can take that bite of certain things that I can't. So I'm so grateful that I found people that are like me and that I finally have an answer, which is the 12 steps and definitely a higher power. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Virginia N. from Southwest Virginia. Okay, PB, you're up, and then we're going to take some more names.
Thanks, Amy, for taking the meeting. My name is PB. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania, who is properly armed with the facts about himself, right? Like in the context of the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I can make some reasonable assumptions about the person who, you know, might be a prospect or just starting out, right? I can make some assumptions about him. And you know, he may or may not have this condition, right? And, you know, there's a reason why we spend so much time in the book, or the book shares so much information, because part of the solution is understanding what the problem is, right? But that's, it's not so specific with regard to the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous, right? Because we have a big umbrella, right? We have undereaters, overeaters, anorexics, bulimics, restrictors, compulsive eaters, people that just have food addicts, right? They're all different. So I can't make assumptions about what other people have, because if I do, they come in here, we can win their confidence very easily. People come in here, they're very impressionable, right? So I have to understand the facts about me. So what are the facts about me, right? The facts about myself, right? I have a disease that has both a physical and a mental component to it. And the physical, I never ever recover from. And the mental has a strategy, has a plan to get over it, right? And part of this solution, as I said earlier, is I have to understand what the disease is. And so, you know, the disease is different for everyone, and that's fine. So I have to figure out, I mean, so the solution, right? What is this solution? Well, the solution for somebody who has the condition, right? The solution is having a spiritual experience. And the steps outline a process for having such an experience. Now that spiritual experience, that works whether you are an alcoholic of the hopeless variety or not, right? Because everybody gets to live a free spiritual life. I mean, there's benefits to that. there's benefits to fellowship and camaraderie and all that stuff and community. There's benefits to all that. But if I'm somebody who has a condition that I have no effective mental defense for, if I'm somebody who no human power can bring about the change that's required, right? If that's in fact what I am, well, I have to make sure that I'm not offering somebody a solution that isn't outlined in this book, right? I got dazed and confused on that one. I think I thought about it too much. So anyway, I'm going to pass. Thanks, Amy.
Okay. Thanks, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Okay, we're going to take some more names. We're on page 18, the fourth paragraph. Who would like to share? I'd probably take about three or four
Penny,
people.
Penny C.
Michelle okay. M.
Roz G.
M. Roz G.
Jana C.
Jana. Okay, we're going to hold there, see if we can get everybody in. All right, Penny C., you're up. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in the Boston area. Oh, I was all set to share on this yesterday. I was so excited about this paragraph. All in italics. Very, very important. Not that anything else in this book isn't important, but this is doubly important. And the fact that I, as an ex-problem overeater and binger, have found the solution, and I follow the steps, and I live a life that's happy, joyous, and free, that I can relate to someone else more than the big book tells me, you know, better than a psychiatrist or any other professional, because I know what it's like, and I can tell someone else that. What this reminds me of is something I've been saying for many, many years at my home meeting, 35 years at least, and that's that the pledge that we say still at this meeting that I go to on Zoom every Saturday morning, that always to extend the hand and heart of OA to those who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. And that whole idea of being responsible, you know, every gift comes with a demand that I do something with it, that I don't just accept a gift from my higher power and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? I'll just live the rest of my life and I'll just be abstinent and happy. No, the only way I'm going to keep that is to share it with somebody else. And I am one of the very, when you think about how many compulsive overeaters and other people with food addictions are out there, I'm one of the chosen. You know, there's someone on this line who used to say, you know, they come by the hundreds and leave by the 99s. And those of us who stay and continue to live the steps and pass it on to others, we are among the very, very blessed. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. Michelle M., you are up. Please go ahead, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. This is Michelle M., recovered compulsive eater in Arizona. And I love this paragraph. And I was thinking about it when we were reading earlier, you know, about the passengers of the shipliner, you know, and this is where we leave off. We shared in the common peril, we trauma bonded, and we all went on our ways, and not so with us. And so when I think about that, and I think about this, this is where there's a shift here, and at least for me, you know, there is a shift here, you know, and as an isolating bulimic, you know, the whole practice and the behavior and the, you know, it was so shaming, and I didn't want to tell anybody, you know, I was like, oh my God. But here I found people who understood that, you know, and where I didn't have to cloak my shame in goodness, You know, I'll be good on the outside, but I'll be a stark raving lunatic on the inside. And the ripple effect of that. And, you know, I made my harms list and I'm looking on step 9, and I've done a lot of these before, but this is so 100% different. Going through the book step by step, word by word, you know, and I thought I had my shit together and knew it all. But one thing that I really want to say about this that I just learned after decades in this, you know, listening, is that the reason why typeset is so important is because it cost a fortune in those days to move from regular type to italics. They had to stop the press. They had to go through this whole manual process. It was very, very, very expensive. And when you look at the budget that they had to create this book, that says something important. So now I have a true appreciation for what that means, because they didn't have Zoom. They couldn't wave their arms. There was no tone. So I am so grateful. I am so grateful to be a part of this fellowship and to be coming out of my isolation and developing a relationship with God. You know, and my sponsor was telling me, you know, we're willing to go to any lengths. And I always thought that was to stop eating, to stay in recovery, willing to go to any lengths to find a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. What will we do without the fellowship and God and the book? And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle M. from Arizona. Roz G., you're up, followed by Shanna C. Go ahead, Roz.
Good morning. This is Roz G., and I'm in Palmdale, California. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace. And, you know, I spent a lot of time at church in my early, I still do, but in different ways. And before program, you know, I thought that religion was going to help me. And I looked to so many different people at church to help me with so many problems in my life and my weight. And I thought that praying over my calories, praying over my food and asking God to remove the calories and asking God to do this and this and this was going to help. And while there's nothing bad about praying, I still pray a lot. It's a huge part of my life. I never came across a person that said, I am a compulsive overeater and I need help. Or this is what I did. And when I went to my first OA meeting, I heard myself in there, but I didn't hear any people beating up on themselves. They were talking about helping each other. And the more meetings I came to, the more I could relate. And no therapist ever helped me with this problem, because some of the therapists I had looked like they had the same problem as I did. And when I talked to them about it later on, you know, it was kind of uncomfortable just with some of them. So I am so grateful today that I'm able to help others. It is the bright spot in my life. I'll be working with a sponsee in about a half an hour today. And I just want to say that thank God for this meeting. This meeting has changed my life, and working with others is the bright spot in my life. And I still love to hear good old fashioned what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Okay, Shanna C. I think you're going to take us out. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. Thanks for your service and everyone who shared. Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from. And, you know, I think about when I truly was at that, I was like, I can't imagine life with food or without it, eating this way, not eating this way, being on a food plan, not being on a food plan, whatever diet or not whatever diet. I just didn't want to, I did not know how to not feel the way I felt by the time I got to the point where I was beaten into that state of reasonableness where I was willing to do whatever, whatever, whatever. And, you know, what's funny for me is I believe the God of my understanding heard every prayer of desperation, despite how foolish it may have sounded at the time, regardless of the motive. You know, I started out in the beverage program, and I'm still in it and everything. And, you know, I heard a special edition in September of 2019. A woman got up there, and she was talking about her, how she ate and how she felt and all of the things. And this was after I had fallen on my knees that morning, begging God for help with the food, because I had been, you know, trying the thing without a food plan. And because I was told that you weren't recovered unless you had a food plan, or didn't, if you used a food plan or not. And before, I had tried a food plan and it didn't work either. And I just didn't know what to do anymore. And I gotten on this line, and someone was telling her story, and she also happened to be an alcoholic. She didn't share that in her story, but after I called her, begging her for help, she had one opening for sponsorship that had come open that week. And this was after I prayed and asked God for help, and I just so happened to find the number for this meeting, and she was telling her story. And she just so happened to have an opening that week, and she shared her life, and I trusted her because she was an alcoholic. That was the main reason. I was like, okay, I can trust an alcoholic who eats like me too. And that's where it began for me. And sure enough, I got on a food plan and started using the tools. And actually, the coolest thing about working the steps and getting recovered was I tapped into the power that enables me to use the tools. Like, the tools themselves were dead. They're like not plugged in. But until I tap into power through the steps, power greater than myself, understand what is truly wrong with me, the physical allergy and the mental obsession with it, which damns me to picking up those foods that I swear I'll never eat again. If I don't have power to stay away from that, I can't use these tools. But it took me using, trying to use the tools in my own power to see they don't work without the power of a power greater than myself that I access through these steps. So anyway, grateful for the steps. It enables me to use the tools that I need for me specifically to stay abstinent. And grateful that those tools aren't damned. In fact, they're encouraged if they're needed. If they're not, great. Don't need them. No condemnation there either. But anyway, my heart now is for the newcomer. And if, you know, none of this stuff that's being said in this meeting is making any sense, there's another one following right after this at 8 o'clock. So, and it's not recorded. And anyway, Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This thing really works. Glad to be here and neutral this morning. That's it.
Shanna, you cut out just as you were telling your state. Can I have that, please?
Yes, it's Tennessee, East Tennessee, Eastern Time.
All right. Great. Thank you so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Well, we've got 2 minutes, actually. Some people left time on the clock. So we've got 2 minutes. Who would like to take the 2 minutes?
Lisa M.
Lisa M., please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa M., as in Mary, from Virginia. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just for today, and I'm very grateful. And I think about the ex-problem drinker or eater. And when I think about that word ex, ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, I used to be with them, but I am no longer with them anymore. And that's what really stood out to me. I used to have a problem with food. I used to have an addiction. I used to have behaviors around food. But I am not that way anymore. One day at a time, by God's grace and mercy and the miracle of the spiritual awakening and working these steps, one day at a time, getting closer to God, definitely the fellowship, using it all. I used to be one way, and I am not that way anymore. And I have to pay it forward. I don't have the option to keep it, to hold it. I have to. It is a non-negotiable. To me, there's some negotiables in this program, but paying it forward, helping the next compulsive overeater is a non-negotiable. and I have to do it, whether sometimes I want to, sometimes I don't want to, sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't, but that doesn't even really matter. I put action with it. I put one foot in front of the other, and I help one day at a time by God's grace and mercy. And so for that, I am grateful, and that's all I have. I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, perfect timing. Thank you, Lisa M. from Virginia. And actually, I'd like to thank everyone, Team Tuesday, and all of our who have shared on what was read. Please join us for a continued hour of study, an unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing of this meeting. The share ID for today, Tuesday, February 10th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,198. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Elizabeth D., will you please read a vision for you?
Yes, my name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.